One aspect of hypnosis is that during the process, patients are in a heightened state of suggestibility. The key to hypnosis and hypnotherapy is that the process of hypnosis goes around the critical voice in our conscious minds. This critical voice censors out things that the conscious mind doesn't agree with. Apparently, this literal voice in our head sometimes works against our healing and progress. In the book How Hypnosis Works by Tom Harris, Tom says, psychiatrists theorize that the deep relaxation and focusing exercises of hypnotism work to calm and subdue the conscious mind so that it takes a less active role in our thinking process. In this state, you're always aware of what's going on, but your conscious mind takes a back seat to your subconscious mind. Effectively, this allows you and the hypnotist to work directly with the subconscious. It's as if the hypnotism process pops open a control panel inside your brain. Part of the power of hypnosis is that the hypnotist is able to key in on the unconscious mind. Without the critical part of our brain arguing and interfering, this can be quite easy. In order for real change to take place, however, the hypnotherapist needs to get into the subconscious and change the intentions of the client. Again, this can be done through visualization or verbal suggestions. Alfred A. Berrios, Ph.D., reviewed the overall lasting success of various psychological approaches. Hypnotherapy rated extremely well when compared with more traditional forms of psychology. This study revealed the following success rates. Hypnotherapy, 93% success rate after 6 sessions. Behavior therapy, 72% success rate after 22 sessions. Psychotherapy, 38% success rate after 600 sessions. So hypnotherapy is at the top, and as we go on, we find that more sessions are actually not doing any more good when we look at behavior therapy and psychotherapy, but hypnotherapy had a 93% success rate after only 6 sessions. Dr. Berrios was so impressed with these findings that he published them in Psychotherapy, Theory, Research, and Practice, Volume 7, Number 1. Studies have shown that some people are far more suggestible to hypnosis or hypnotherapy than others. This is because often people have a natural reaction to defend themselves against thoughts and situations that go against the grain. People who are more open to new thoughts and ideas may be better suited toward becoming hypnotized. This ideal type of person for hypnosis can be better understood when we analyze people's reactions to statements they may not be familiar with or comfortable with. Normally, when someone tells us something, we have a typical response that we automatically go through, don't we? This automatic response is, to some extent, a byproduct of who we are. It's our social conditioning that causes it and how we interact with society. In other words, we have a preconditioned response to a wide variety of stimuli, and that determines how we interact with others. A large part of the interaction centers on our social norms. For example, if I'm at a funeral and I walk up to a grieving friend and say, "Forget about your grandmother's death," well, that probably isn't going to go over very well. There will undoubtedly be a series of thoughts and responses that this person will have. Much of these responses arise from years or decades of social conditioning, as well as personal life experiences. Their mind is trained to almost defend itself from my statement. A person's mind will often automatically try to point out all the inaccuracies of a statement that so boldly flies in the face of social norms and/or logic. For example, this person might respond by saying something like, "How dare you say that? You didn't know my grandmother and how wonderful she was. It's easy for you to say forget about her." My statement suggesting that this hypothetical person forget about their grandmother could have been intended to reduce their pain and discomfort, yet it would not very likely be viewed that way. Our hypothetical mourner that has an automated internal dialogue that instantly reinforces their belief system and relays that they have been disrespected and violated at a vulnerable moment is on. People generally don't respond well to this sort of thing, and understandably so. Now, the description I just gave is an example of how many people will have an automatic defensiveness built in against ideas that go against the grain. The more resistant someone is to new ideas and unusual responses, the less comfortable he or she may be with hypnosis or hypnotherapy, so it can be an indicator. By the way, hypnosis will have the best results when the client is comfortable. I always make sure my clients are perfectly comfortable. it is important that the process take place in an environment that the client feels is extremely safe and secure. A level of trust and safety needs to be reached in order to effectively treat the client. Conversely, the hypnotherapist needs to be someone that the patient can readily and easily put his or her trust in. I want you to notice that I'm using hypnotist, hypnotherapist, patient, and client. I'm using those words interchangeably. When you talk about a hypnotherapist or a hypnotist, you can use the same word for either. That's fine. And when you talk about the person receiving the treatment, you can call them a patient or client. Either way is fine. In my introductory book to hypnosis, Basic Hypnotherapy for Professionals, I make that very clear to my students studying hypnotherapy, and I want to make it clear to you as well. One interesting technique commonly used in a wide variety of books and films and television is a technique that involves a patient going back in time to a previous self at a previous moment in time. This suggestion allows the patient to recall memories that are disassociated. Some individuals can even role-play the events as though they are living them once again. This is a technique that is commonly used during hypnotherapy. All right, here we are at the end of the program. You have learned a lot of information. Now, not only have you learned what I have said, but you have learned what you have thought. Think about it. All of the things that I've said should have triggered ideas and thoughts in your mind. While those things were coming up, hopefully you were capturing them somehow. But if not, that's okay. We're going to take care of that right now. I want you to think about the entire program, everything I've said, and I want you to put down 5 points that relate to the program, either things that I said or things that came to you. 5 new points that you haven't written down yet that came to you during the course of listening to this program. Write them down. They could be things to do. They could be random thoughts. They could be thoughts about yourself, thoughts about others. It doesn't matter. Just 5 things that came to you while I was talking during this program. 5 points. Go ahead and write them down now as I'm silent. All right, you've got your 5 points now. Great. Now I want you to elaborate on them. Take point number one and fill it in. Write something about it. Write a game plan. If it's something you're going to do, if it's something about yourself, go ahead and elaborate on that. If it's something about somebody else, go ahead and elaborate on that. Whatever it is, fill it in. I don't want you just to have a word there or a couple words. I want you to explain what that idea was. Develop that idea so you can use it later. Do this now as I am silent for point number one. Good. Now the same thing for point number two. Develop it. Write something about it. Do this now. Good. Now, point number three. Go ahead and develop point number three. Bring it along. Develop point number three to the point in writing where you can look at it later and say, oh, that's what I was thinking about. That was my idea with point number three. So it's not just a word or a couple words. It's now going to be a definition or an explanation or a game plan for point number three. Do this now as I'm silent. All right, now take point number 4, and I want you to elaborate on that as well. Do this now as I'm silent. All right, last but not least, point number 5, the final point in this program. What really struck you? What came to you while you're listening to this program? Write something about point number 5. You've already got point number 5 written down. Now elaborate on it now as I am silent. All right, outstanding work. All right, so you've learned a lot of information in this program, and what I want you to do now is, as long as you're not driving, close your eyes and let that information kind of circulate around in your mind. Just let all those ideas float around as if they're balloons, or as if you're an astronaut floating in a space capsule and everything kind of floats because there's no gravity. Think about your ideas like that. They're just floating in front of you. I want you to let your imagination run wild, and I want you to start seeing things fit into place. Now, at first, what's going to happen probably is that all these ideas are going to be floating around in your mind as your mind calms down, you're going to be able to put the pieces into place. For example, if you have a wonderful idea that came to you as a result of listening to this program, you're going to be able to take that idea and put it into place in your imagination. The wonderful thing about your imagination is it doesn't have any limits. So when you plan something out and you actually start doing it, well, maybe there are certain physical restraints and physical limitations that you're really feeling, like gravity, for example. But in your imagination, there aren't any. So you might think, what's the use of using your imagination if it has certain properties to it that don't apply to the physical world, to the real world? Well, I want to tell you that a lot of the things that you think apply to the real world really don't. A lot of the limitations that you think you have, you don't really have. You're just imagining them. Those are already in your imagination, but you've made them real. Why don't we take good things from your imagination, good, powerful things that are actually going to help you, and bring those into your real life? You've already done it with things that are limiting. Let's do it with things that are great and helpful. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be able to have superhuman strength, but I'm saying that your possibilities are a lot greater than you think they are right now, and your imagination is the key to unlocking the door that's going to allow you to live in a universe where a lot more things are possible to you. So, what I'm going to do now is give you an opportunity to close your eyes. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to get out of your way and just let your thoughts run wild. All of the thoughts that have been coming to you while listening to this program, let them run wild in your mind, and then start to see patterns, start to put them into place, start to take control of them, and start to see how maybe you can change some of the things that you're doing and make your life better. Do this exercise now of just letting your imagination run wild with these new ideas as I am silent. All right. How was that? Did you have a lot of ideas floating around at first? Maybe some strange ideas came in. Sometimes I close my eyes and I don't know what's going to come into my imagination because my imagination is open and anything goes. But what I often find is that the things from my imagination are not always fantasy. Sometimes they're things that I can do. I can find a way to make them happen. And if I didn't take the time to step away from my problems, my challenges, and use my imagination, I probably wouldn't have thought of the solution. So this exercise can be very helpful. I hope you use it beyond this program as well. Sometimes you can get so caught up in a problem that you just need to step away, close your eyes, and use your imagination and see what happens, see what comes to you. All right, I hope you enjoyed this exercise. So I hope you found this information very beneficial. And I want you to realize that the hypnosis session that goes along with this program is now going to help you achieve your goals. It's going to help you erase bad memories and start on the path to emotional freedom. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, hoping you have an outstanding life.